I greet each of you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. Thank you for those thoughts, Brother Dave. As you talked of parents, I thought back to my parents and a prayer that I often heard Dad pray, where they committed each of us children to the Lord, whatever He wanted for us. And thank you for those thoughts. You asked a question. Don't remember exactly how you said it, but we're willing that our children should be servants in God's kingdom. This morning I would like to start. Let me first of all bring greetings from Kenya, from Nakuru, Kenya. I bring greetings from the churches there, and this morning in the message, my mind went to a question. Two of the disciples of John were following Jesus, and Jesus noticed them, and He turned to them. These disciples asked Jesus a question, "Master, where dwellest thou?" I don't know what exactly they meant by that question. Could it mean, what's your address? Where are you staying? I suspect it was more than just wanting to know the physical address where Jesus stayed. However, Jesus said, "Come and see." And something through that interaction, those disciples became convinced that they had found the Messiah. They went telling others, "We have found Him." I wonder what thoughts went through those disciples' minds as they were seeking to know where God dwells. And I wonder if they looked back at some of the Old Testament prophecies, and they wondered, when the Messiah comes, where will He dwell on this earth? Would He be among the rich? Would He be among the poor? Which people would He associate Himself with? In Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses here as an introduction. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I'll read verse 9 as well. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." In these verses, we are told of an action, or if I can use my own words, we are told of a characteristic of Jesus and what he did. And I'm choosing the word, he humbled himself. Now, I don't know if we have ever thought of humility as a characteristic of God. As you think of God, as I looked in different books, even in our doctrines of the Bible, it does not list humility as a characteristic of God. I looked in other places and I couldn't find it there either. But we are told here that we should have this mind, which was also in the mind of Jesus, was the mind of Jesus, that he came and he humbled himself. And so this morning I ask a question. We may not be able to answer it, but I would like still to ask ourselves that question. Is God humble? We start by asking, well, what is humility? What does that mean? And we come to a few difficult questions. We say, well, is God teachable? That's a little difficult. Can God think more highly of someone else than himself? If we turn the question around and we ask, is God proud? We were kind of repulsive at that question. And I think we would probably all say God cannot be proud in the same way that Satan was. And when it says, lists pride as a thing that God said he hates, so we ask a question, just keep that question in your mind. Is God humble? It may be difficult, and yet in the same way, Jesus, as he came with his disciples that evening before he was crucified, he demonstrated what being a servant is. He demonstrated what it is to humble himself. And he washed his disciples' feet. And then after that, one of the disciples said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I've been with you all this time, and you're saying, show me the Father? When you think of humility, what other words could we come up with? Jesus often used a child as an example of humility. We can take a child here this morning and ask them a few questions. And a child is very, in some ways, very realistic, very it's obvious to them the things which they can and cannot do. Child knows he's not educated, doesn't have the ability to work like dad. They have an attitude of dependence. In some ways, they have a recognition of their weakness and their own limitations. We have many examples throughout the scripture of those who were humble and those who were proud. We think of Nebuchadnezzar as one day he was walking as he surveyed the city of Babylon and he said, I have done all of this. We read of God's judgment upon him and what happened. We read also of King Saul. And it seems at some point when the prophet Samuel said to him, at one point when you were small in your own sight, but he changed after he sinned, a very grievous sin. And the prophet Samuel rebuked him. King Saul yet said, yes, I have sinned, but bless me now before this people. Moses, educated in the tradition of the Egyptians, may have seen himself ready to serve. But God led him to be a shepherd of sheep. We have the Pharisee who stood and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like that sinner. I don't know if you've ever wondered, humility. Maybe I don't know if I'm the one who asks all these questions. and wonders about these things. But humility is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit. So how important is humility to the children of God? Is it important? I would like to give humility this morning as in a picture that humility is the garden where the fruit of the Spirit grows. Thinking of our lives as that garden, we normally plow or we till our gardens to make them soft, to make them ready. To go further, humility, I believe, is the door of salvation. It is the door which we must walk through where pride is broken. The Scripture tells us that pride is, it is something which God hates. If we ask a question, is it possible to repent without humility? True repentance. Is reconciliation possible without true humility? Is forgiveness possible? True forgiveness possible without true humility? In humility, it is when we are able to see our own weaknesses, our own limitations. And the Scripture teaches us to think of others more highly than ourselves. There are many things, I believe, that come out of humility. The ability to serve, the virtue of submission, meekness, modesty, even to praise and encourage others. A proud person loves to be praised. How easy is it for us to notice and to lift up the strong points of others? Am I able to see my own faults? Am I willing to suffer abuses at the hands of others? I would like, as the main text for this morning, to go to Luke chapter 7. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures as I think of humility. In this scripture, we are given four stories, and we're not going to read the whole, we're not going to read the whole chapter, so I will be picking and choosing throughout this chapter. We'll read the first story, and then we will pick one word out of this and use that word and reference it to the other stories which happened here. So let us read, beginning in Luke chapter 7, and starting in, I'll read verse 1 through, I'll read verse 1 through 7. It says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they sought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. I will stop there with that reading. In this portion, we have a Roman, normally a hated person, and here he is seeming to have made friends with the Jews, and he had a servant who was sick. So they came to Jesus asking for Jesus to come and heal this servant. And they said, this man is worthy. Why? Well, he had done some things for them. Built them a synagogue. He had done things for them which created a friendship. They appreciated him. So they said, this man is worthy. However, as Jesus went there, he sent a message saying, I am not worthy. We have our ways of judging whether people are worthy or not. And we have this interesting story of a man, a great man, but he said, I'm not worthy. I would like all of us to ask ourselves the question, am I worthy? How do I see myself? Jesus said of this man, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now we have three more stories, and I would like to take that question and apply it to every one of these. While continuing to ask ourselves, how do I see myself? The next story we are told of a widow. And this widow had a son. This son died. Truly a sad situation. Jesus apparently found them maybe on the way to bury. And came to where the body was. They stood still. Jesus healed. He brought this young man back to life. Now, ask this question. Was this widow lady worthy that this should have been done to her? And we say, well, that's kind of a moot point. The lady was needy. She lost probably the one who was sustaining her in life, the one who was caring for her. And we all agree that it is right. Jesus should bring healing here. That's just our natural response. But we go to the next story. John the Baptist was in prison. And he sent a message to Jesus, starting in verse 19. Let's read. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I think probably John's question was referring to the Old Testament prophecy that when the Messiah comes, he will set the captives free. So he was sending a question to Jesus, are you the Messiah who will come, and will you set the captives free? And if that is true, I am in prison, will you set me free? Jesus sent a message back saying to his disciples, you've seen all the miracles that have happened here. Go tell John what you saw. So if we would have asked the people there, should Jesus have set John free from prison? Is John a worthy man? The question would have been yes. But did he? He did not. I asked my brothers and sisters in Kenya, as my wife was struggling with cancer, I was preaching this message. Should God heal my wife? And the answer was immediate, yes, he should. The question here, as they looked at John the Baptist, they were looking at me as their bishop, and here is my wife. Here was John the Baptist, a man who foretold the Messiah, who prepared the way of the Lord, who was useful in God's kingdom, and there he sat in prison. Now, we go to verse 28. And it really emphasizes a point. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Worthy? Yes, indeed. We go to the last story, and this story really moves me. Because we find three people here in this story. John chapter 7, I begin reading in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. But when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now, we ask this question. Who was worthy and who was not worthy in this story? We have the story of the woman, and the Bible tells us she was a sinner. Was she worthy? No, she was not. And she knew she was not. But we also have a man here, a Pharisee, that as he looked at Jesus, he said, well, if he were a prophet, he would have known. So in some ways, he was lifting himself up, saying, I know, I am worthy, I know, and here is the Messiah, the only one who is truly worthy in this story. He had lifted himself up. Then Jesus told this little parable. Two who owed a debt. And the one debt was 10 times the other. Both forgiven, and Jesus asked, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Jesus continued, and he compared the actions of Simon to the actions of this woman. Which one of them loved him most? The point is simple. At least in my mind. Our love for God is directly connected to our sense of unworthiness. It's directly connected. If we go back to verse 28, I didn't finish reading that verse. For I send to you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. If I could change the words a little bit. He that is unworthy in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I am not at all here to preach a message like one of my relatives told me. He was promoting this idea that we should go out and we sin, and we experience the sin of the evil of the world so that we can have this kind of an attitude that this woman had. That is not the message here. We are told of the centurion. We are told of no sin on his side, yet we are told of the unworthiness which he experienced before God. So this morning, I ask the question, am I worthy or am I unworthy before God? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Going back to the first question I asked at the beginning, these two disciples who came to Jesus and said, Master, where dwellest thou? I would like to answer that with a verse from Isaiah 57. I will turn there to Isaiah 57. And it tells us there, and I wonder, as the disciples, as they followed Jesus, as they looked to him, what they thought, where did they think the Messiah would be? In Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says there, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." This morning, brethren and sisters, God dwells with those who are humble. I can imagine these disciples, knowing they were common people, knowing that the president stays in Washington, D.C., and here is the Messiah, not there in Jerusalem, not running around with the high priest, but with those who were humble. The promise is to us that God will dwell with us if we walk in humility. I think back to my dad. He was one who modeled humility to me. I'm thankful for that example. I remember him saying, "I could be wrong. I could be wrong." He was not one to lift himself up. And he did his best to be a servant. This morning I ask, are we worthy? Are we not worthy? As we think of God, Jesus Christ, who modeled humility to us. In the scripture it says that he is the only one worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And in a similar way, this promise is also to us. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up.